This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Our guy who's been great with us all football season, Dan Orlovsky, is in L.A., and he joins us now. Dan, how you doing?
Hey, bud, how you doing? I'm doing good, man. It's incredibly warm out here. I'm not complaining. It's just very hot, so it's nice to be in some heat.
Now, I think the part of the team, the two teams that's going to be under the most heat, see how I transferred that, is going to be the Bengals offensive line.
Well done.
How do they keep that rush that the Rams have off of Burrow? What are they going to do?
Yeah, so my initial reaction is you can't. You aren't getting different human beings on your offensive line over 2 weeks. I think there's two things that you can try to do in your pass game. Number one is your quick passing game. The ball getting out of Joe's hands as quickly as possible. That minimizes the impact that the defensive line could have, but it also doesn't give you any chance to put the ball downfield, right? So there's that give and take of we want to get the ball out, but you know, first and 10, a 2-yard completion isn't anything. You know, second and 10, a 3-yard completion isn't anything. So that's the challenge is, you know, doing a good job of, if you're going to get the ball out quickly, those guys got to do something with it in their hands after the catch. I think the more prevalent thing will be the screen game. Now, it's a little bit of a, you feel good about it if you're Cincinnati, because one, the Rams defensively are not good defending the screen. That's just something that they don't do well. And the Bengals not only are good at running screens, but they got a multitude of them. They're your traditional quarterback dropbacks. They're the right 3 seconds and come back and throw the ball to the screen to your tailback on the left. They've got slip screens that happen a little bit quickly. They've got play action screens. They got perimeter screens. So, you know, I'd be shocked if they didn't throw at least 6 screens on Sunday. I think that's the best way. But more importantly, Joe is going to be under pressure. The thing he has done such a good job of is, when the pressure comes, not giving the ball away. You know, there's moments where you could see him understanding the sack hurts my football team, the turnover kills my team. He's got 2 turnovers in his last 300 attempts. That's the stark difference between who he was the first 2/3 of the season and the last third. That's the challenge, is can he deal with that pressure and not give the ball away?
Now, you joked about the heat. This is going to be the hottest Super Bowl on record. Game time temperature of 87. Apparently, that roof really radiates a lot more heat. Is that any kind of issue in this game? Does it play a favorite to either side?
I think it probably favors the Rams a little bit. I mean, the Rams live in this environment, so it's not probably all that different than what it was, you know, over the past couple months. Certainly closer to what the temperature that they've been in compared to the Bengals. And it's something that, offensive football teams that can run the football on a consistent basis like the weather because they feel like they can wear out a defensive line. You know, the Bengals defensive line has taken some injuries with one of their defensive tackles, you know, getting hurt 3 games ago. So, like, if there was a team that I would think could take advantage of it, it's going to be the Rams. I don't think it's this huge swing, though.
Go ahead, Peter.
Well, Dan, I was going to say, I know you and Matt Stafford didn't have a lot of crossover in Detroit. He came after you were gone, and then when you went back briefly and spent a little time with him. But what can you tell us about Stafford, and do you believe he's built well for a situation like the Super Bowl, which we know certainly can the level of pressure can affect quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think those are great questions. My answer is 100% yes. You know, I have said this for weeks now. If I had to take one guy and put my life savings on it, you get the ball in the fourth quarter with a chance to win the game, I would take Matthew Stafford over everybody. Mm. Matthew Stafford has 86 career wins, 44 of them on game-winning fourth quarter drives. 44. More than half of his wins have come because his team needed him to be great in the fourth quarter. You know, I'll tell you guys a couple stories so people can really get a feel for the type of guy he is. So we were together, and we were talking about recruiting. Matthew's from Highland Park, Texas, right outside of Dallas. And I remember asking him, like, dude, how did a kid from Texas not go to Texas? When Texas was good, like, how did you get out of Texas? And he said, honestly, I committed to Georgia because I got so sick and tired of the recruiting process. I hated people telling me how great I was. I hated people fawning over me. I just wanted to play ball. Shows you a little bit of who he is. You know, he's telling us the story of his sophomore year playing, you know, obviously with Georgia. They play on the road at Tennessee and they lose. This is his sophomore year. His dad comes on to him on the field after the game, puts his arm around him, like, don't worry, son, next time we come here, we're going to get him. And he looked up at his dad and said, Dad, there ain't going to be a next time, saying, I'm going to the draft next year. You know, like he was already, you know, had his mind on it. And then, you know, the probably the best story that I could tell of who he is we were watching tape one time at 14 or 15, and he fit this ball like 25 yards downfield into this tight window, three or four defenders all around. And this wasn't like a got-to-have-it situation. This was just a regular play. And so I remember watching the tape and going, Matthew, like, why? Why are you forcing this ball downfield into this tight window? There's a receiver 8 yards downfield right in front of that guy that's wide open. No one's near him. And I'm like, why are you making that throw? And he looked at me and said, because you can. And it wasn't like this, you know, jerk way. He wants to make those wow throws. He loves to be in that moment. And I think he's 100% made for it. And I think we've seen that the past 2 weeks. But this is a guy that, you know, thoroughly wants to be in that situation.
All right. So, I mean, obviously you're high on Stafford. What's your pick for the game? Who do you like? Is it the Rams?
Yeah, it's the Rams. You know, honestly, I think the game could get ugly. Couple of reasons why. Number one, football always has been and always will be a line of scrimmage football game. The fact that the Bengals are here with their offensive line is such an anomaly. Teams that don't protect their quarterback don't win. There's a reason that this quarterback has been sacked more than anybody in football the past 2 years. There's a reason why this quarterback has more pressures on him this season than anyone else in football. The Bengals as a football team have more interceptions than touchdowns in the postseason. That's just not normal. But eventually pad protection, eventually the inability to be productive in the red zone because of that bad offensive line catches up to you. Last year's Super Bowl, it was, you know, can this offensive line protect Patrick Mahomes? He's remarkable. And we saw that they couldn't. And eventually that happens. And understanding the style of defense that the Rams are going to play in the zone and the eyes on Burrow and the pressure, I think unless they get some takeaways, this game could get ugly. Now, can they keep it close and kick field goals and force field goals by the Rams on offense? Maybe. But if the Rams are playing well and they play a B football game, I think this could get, you know, to be a one-sided affair. The Bengals keep it close by forcing field goals, get a couple takeaways, control the football on offense. Joe's got to continue to be great on third down and not give the football away in those kind of pressurized situations.
There's one concern that I have I wanted to run by you with the Rams because I agree. I like the Rams as well, but it seems like McVay coaches differently in tight spots. And I wonder, the last time they were in the Super Bowl, they scored 3 points. This is an offensive genius.
Yep.
Was that all because of Jared Goff, or does Sean McVay get a little tight, Dan?
I think we saw Sean be a little bit tight, indifferent last week or 2 weeks ago against the 49ers. He got bailed out by some of his players making big-time plays.
Right.
I think the Super Bowl was more, and we're going to talk about this on NFL Live on Friday, how ready is Sean for the things he's not ready for? You know, really what happened in that game was Bill gave him a front defensively that he had not seen, the Rams had not seen, nor had the Patriots shown. And also, they played coverage that the Rams just weren't ready for. That was the real thing, and the Rams just did not and could not adjust. How ready is for – and this is a real thing in this game because the Bengals changed so much defensively. So – I think Sean is ready for it. I think Sean learned from that first experience. I think Sean is going out in this football game with a playbook that is as big as an Encyclopedia Britannica, and he is ready for, and he should be, anything that Cincinnati can throw at them defensively.
Yeah, because that's a lot of pressure on him, right, Dan? I mean, he's had the team now for 3-4 years. Now he's got the quarterback. They chose this quarterback. They've overcome a lot to get here. I think a lot would fall on his shoulders if they don't win this game.
There's no question about it. So when the trade happened, the conversation in NFL media was, well, who's under the most pressure this season in the NFL? And it was unequivocally as a player, Matthew Stafford, and then as a coach, Sean McVay, right? And then we get to the season, and they start to play so well, and the pressure builds. And then they acquire Von Miller and Odell Beckham. Listen, I know this is like one of those cliche things. Like, this is a must win, right? It's the Super Bowl. It's a must win for everybody. Yeah, of course. The Rams, we've only correlated the Rams to, like, really Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay this year. I'll break their team down for everybody, right? The Rams have 9 guys on their starting 22 that were first-round draft picks. They got a quarterback that potentially is a Hall of Famer. He's going to be in the top 10 in passing yards and passing touchdowns by the end of next season. They have a potential Hall of Fame left tackle. They have a wide receiver who has historically the best season in the history of the NFL. And they have a wide receiver that had the greatest start in the history of the NFL to his career. Defensively, they have a Super Bowl MVP in Von Miller. They have a Hall of Fame top 25 player ever in Aaron Donald. And they have the best defensive back in football in Jalen Ramsey. Dude, this is, you cannot lose this football game if you're Sean McVay. Because if you do, all the questions are going to go to, and I love Sean, and I think he knows this. All the questions are going to be like, hey, man, you didn't get it done again.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, a non-Super Bowl question I have for you, Dan. What do you make of Kyler Murray wiping the Cardinals off of social media, seemingly wiping them out of his life? What's going on there?
Yeah, it's not nothing. This is something. The era that these kids have grown up in with social media, that's the way that they communicate. That's the way that they make their sometimes communicate the decisions and or choices and or feelings that they're having. This is not something small. For Kyler Murray, that is a purposeful act. He is doing that intentionally. You know, it's interesting to see what's going to happen. You've heard rumors that, you know, that not everybody involved in that building when it comes to owner, general manager, head coach, and quarterback are all happy and potentially on the same page. You know, it's one of those things where you got to get a full commitment from all those parties, a full commitment from all those parties to be as good as they can, both individually and then as a unit.
We talked about this after that Monday night playoff game with Kyler. They were obviously just matchup-wise not in a good spot. The Cardinals gave him really no chance.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, Michael and I felt that Kyler was bad enough that day, regardless of the reason, to kind of give you a little bit of pause. Are we wrong? Or did you have a little bit of pause after that playoff loss for Murray?
My pause with Kyler comes from you're too talented of a player to not show me the growth that should have happened over the past 2 seasons. It's not necessarily that performance. I think that's been kind of the theme for Kyler here in the last 2 seasons. And it makes me go, you're too talented, and you have when you look at these young players that come, why are we raving about guys like Josh and Joe Burrow and Patrick? And because they're giving us the consistency of their performances. Their lows are, if we're going on a ranking of 0 to 10, their lows are 7s and 8s, and then they play at 9s, and then there's occasional those 10s. You know, Kyler's got that too big of a variance with his performance right now, and you saw that in the playoffs. So I don't think that individual performance gives me pause. There's too many performances that are like that individual one for where Kyler should be ascending to.
Well, I know you're up against it. We appreciate your time. And, Dan, I'm speaking for Don and Peter. You've been so great with us all year. We can't thank you enough. This spot was so much fun and so informative. Thank you very, very much, really.
And you gave us a shout-out on TV the other day. We appreciate
it. That was very nice of you, too.
No, it's been an honor. It's been a privilege. I grew up listening to you guys but I've listened to you guys for a long time. And I think, you know, I told Andrew this, you guys are good dudes, good people. So it's been as much fun for me as it is for you guys. I'm honored and privileged. So thank you.
Well, enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the game. All right.
Thanks, guys. You too. Have fun.
Thanks. Take care.
That's Dan Orlovsky. We'll come back. 1-800-919-3776. Peter has a big ENN as well.
Oh,
we're gonna
yeah.
Away another Super Box Bonanza. Box, and then we'll give one more in the 6 o'clock hour as well. So stick around here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.